Happy Saturday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I have quite a show for you today. First, we're going to talk just a tad, because I think you've heard quite a bit of it on the news, about the rather incredible. It's so incredible. I'm actually at the point where I'm amazed that I can still be amazed when it comes to the Obama administration, including the State Department, Wuss John Kerry, all their mealy-mouthed spokesmen and spokeswomen. It's just remarkable, just remarkable. We're going to talk a little bit about that today and how jobs will take care of this terror problem. I'm going to refer you back to a couple of my shows, which you should listen to because it all ties in. This is the proof of the pudding this week. Obama's speech, his three-day nonsensical conference on extremism, not Islamic terrorism, not radical Muslims, not jihad, but extremism. His spokesman and the State Department spokesman trying to say that, social workers can solve this problem. I'm sorry. You listen to this stuff and you go, did I really just hear that? And then I'm going to kind of parlay that into what's happening in a lot of places around the planet that's being obscured by all the chatter concerning ISIS, Islamic terrorism, not naming Islamic terrorism, yada, 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 yada. Because it all ties in, folks. Nothing in this planet and nothing in this country works independent of anything else. There's a cause and effect, an action and a reaction, a lack of action and a consequence to everything we do as a country, we think as a people, and heaven help us, the people in power, that more than 50% of the voters in this country put in place twice. Wow. Unbelievable. To what they do and what they say, and what they think and what the intention is. So, the things that we're going to be talking about, which are above, beyond, but intertwined with Islamic terror and our government's stance on that, including the military, it's going to include a really, I think, fascinating kind of series of snapshots for you. I did a show, and the link's going to be in the write-up, called Greece's California about 2 years ago. Maybe it was 2.5. Pretty good show. And we talked about what was happening with Greece, what its eventual effect was going to be on the European Union, how it resembled, in the case of that show, California, which is a bankrupt state, $16 billion deficit, and getting, should we say, digging itself deeper by the day. And we did another show on Detroit. This was probably a year and a half ago, about 6 months prior to Detroit declaring bankruptcy. And it was about the corruption of government and how it tore down once was not the mightiest, but the wealthiest city in the United States in the 1950s to literally a pile of abandoned house rubble that had lost more than half its population and, subsequent to that show, went bankrupt. Once again, I'm not a Houdini, I'm not a forecaster, I don't have a crystal ball, but I know water runs downhill and 2 + 2 = 4. And the next thing we're going to do in this little snapshot sequence I'm going to do for you today is where Detroit's at. And then we're going to kind of jump into very quickly, a CBO report which just came out has been totally hidden. Nobody has covered it, of course, about the cost of Obamacare. Would you believe $50,000 per person? Let me repeat that. $50,000 per person. Multiply that out. And finally, we're gonna end our little snapshot sequence with the approaching 100-year storm and what's happening in the currency markets around the planet and how that affects the United States and the dollar, which affects you, your family, your finances, your pocketbook, your ability to buy, your ability to save, and the values of all your assets, and the assets, I might add, of your kids and your kids' kids and your grandkids' kids. It's all tied in. And during the course of this, think about if the wrong decisions are being made now, unintentionally or through incompetence, as some of the pundits like to say, or as others scratching their head look at the camera and say, this is just inextricable. I just don't understand how he can think this way, or how he can't under, how he doesn't comprehend what's going on. Look, you know this already if you're a listener, and if you're not, let me bring you up to speed. None of this is unintentional. It is all intentional. For social justice reasons, for religious reasons, for ideological reasons. You know, Rudy Giuliani, a day ago, had the moxie to be on national TV and say, Obama doesn't like America. Now, those of you who listen to my interviews with Dinesh D'Souza, you can go back in the archives and find them, and others, Jerome Corsi, etc., know that I have long been of the opinion that that is true, but not strong enough. I mean, I applaud Mr. Giuliani for his honesty, and I happen to agree with him 100%. And by the way, he invoked many of the things we've talked about, Reverend Wright, Dorn, Ayers, Muslim upbringing, Muslim dad, Muslim stepfather, Muslim school in Indonesia, Barack Obama's own book, Dreams from My Father. It is on one point that I disagree with Mr. Giuliani. This is not a question of Barack Obama not liking the United States. Barack Obama dislikes the United States. There's a difference. And you know, I was listening, I took an hour or two off. I'm busy working on book 5 right now, and I'll have an update for you next week on book 4. I know a lot of you are chomping at the bit, and boy, so am I. Been very frustrating. I was listening to the TV this evening, or I'm sorry, last evening, and, you know, sometimes I do that because it's kind of mindless, and you kind of think subconsciously while you're watching the images and pictures and listening to the blare of sound from the screen. And Sean Hannity was talking about, and he came as close as I've heard anybody come close to, although Bill O'Reilly is like, you know, in his own words, his head's ready to blow off. So I think he's getting there too. But in kind of recapping the week's events and this truly remarkable behavior on the part of the administration relative to Muslims. I mean, this was really the administration saying that this is our fault. Muslims are persecuted. There's no social justice for Muslims. They need jobs, they need money, they need social workers, and all this will go away. So really, you know, it's all our fault because we haven't done that. We haven't done enough of that. Whatever. I mean, it's almost unfathomable to try and follow the train of thought. I don't know how many of you listened to or heard the incredible. I'll give it a compliment. Discourse by Mary the Moron from the State Department about we can't kill them all. It's not their fault. What we need is jobs and economic stimulus. I mean, really? Holy smokes. But Sean Hannity, I digressed, Sean Hannity looked at the camera and he said, you know, I have a very uneasy feeling that there's something more going on. Mr. Hannity, you're correct. There's a lot more going on. And it's on purpose. Everything that has happened this week, folks, underlines, underscores, and I think proves irrefutably what I have been saying for years, for months, and particularly pounding on the last four or five shows. Barack Obama is who he is. He has a plan. He's brilliant. He is absolutely for the Muslims and believes that the jihadis are freedom fighters. He is absolutely against what he perceives to be the colonial powers, Israel, the United States, Europe. He has no more intention of destroying ISIS than he has of, you know, driving a white Cadillac. He has no more intention of stopping Iran from getting the bomb than he does of suddenly liking white people. It's just not going to happen. All right, look. Listen to the links in the write-up below. You've heard the news this week. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. It's my job to bring you the news behind the news and the stuff you're not hearing. But I needed to start this show with that because in the end I'm going to tie it back into it. I'm going to give you something to think about. Let's talk about Greece. And I projected this 2.5 years ago. So the new Greek political party is known as Syriza, the coalition of the radical left. And you know, they came out this last week, the finance minister, and said, I'm the finance minister of a bankrupt country. Wow. And you know, he's right. And it's absolutely true. And do you know what the Europeans did? They jumped all over him. Oh, they're crazy. They're this, they're that. Da, 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 da. You know, all those European countries, with the exception of Germany, are absolutely in the same boat. So goes Greece. So go the pigs. Portugal, Italy, Spain. And in Greece, what we have going is this coalition, which was elected by the Greeks. It's founded of a broad array of groups. In fact, there's 13 in total. See if you don't see some similarities to the coalition Barack Obama of the left, just like Syriza, has structured here in the United States. Social Democrats, Democratic Socialists, left-wing populists, green left groups, Euro-communists, Euro-skeptics, i.e. American value skeptics, secular ideology. Does that all sound familiar to you? It should, because it's exactly the coalition that Barack Obama has put together in the United States of America, quite intentionally and quite well, I might add. You know, the Greeks voted this government in as an anti-austerity vote. If you listen to my show, Greece is California, which, by the way, I think was picked up by Fox because about a month later they had a show which pretty much paralleled mine called Greece is California. Rather a large compliment. But putting that aside, if you listen to that show, I talk about austerity. And this is the European Union trying to cram, and I think rightfully so, cram austerity down the free spending throats of the Greeks. The result of this austerity, and be thinking about the United States as I'm talking, you have unemployment at 30% overall in Greece, 60% unemployment for folks under 25, and wages have fallen 40%. No wonder the people in Greece are upset. Now, contrary to what the State Department says, I don't see them going out burning people alive, crucifying people, beheading people, on the march, trying to establish a new Greek empire like the days of old. So, what's going on in Greece kind of undermines the whole State Department theory on the Mid East, but that's for another show. What we're talking about right now is the fact that Greece is in serious trouble. And Greece is going to default on its bonds, folks. The bonds to the central banks of Europe and the European Common Bank. That is going to happen. They are weeks away from running out of money. Weeks away. This is going to be very, very, very interesting and be looking for some huge ripple effects, not only in the European markets, but in the American markets. Those of you who believe in stocks, take heed. In order to finance all the repayments of their bond rollovers, all governments financed by the sale of bonds, they had to sell like $2.3 billion, 2 billion euros, in mid-January. They only sold about 25% of that. In order to finance all their repayments, Greece would have to roll over all their bonds, kind of like T-bills, if you will, of 26, 27.6 billion. Their latest bond offering, only 625 million. 625 million. We're talking about less than 5-6% of what they needed to do got sold. And that was at rates of 2.75%. Remember that most of Europe is in negative interest rates, so that's quite an interest rate over there. Still, there were no takers. In fact, that was only two-thirds of what was needed to service the upcoming Greek T-bills, which mature this month. On February 13th, another 1.4 million, that's 1.4 billion, euros or T-bills mature, and they didn't make that one either. Now, the Greek people have kind of caught on to this, and although their savings rates, money that they kind of stockpiled away despite the bad economy, were pretty much stable into December, they've now plummeted. And when I say plummeted, I mean like by 300%, because people are taking cash out. They're converting it to another currency. They're leaving the country. They're converting it to precious metals, or they're putting it in their mattress. Not that that will help them. The European Central Bank, kind of like our Federal Reserve, they just upped the pressure on Greece. Upped it. And the next step is what's called capital controls. We're going to talk more about that in the future. It's not quite time, but there will be coming a time, I believe, in the United States where we're going to see capital controls here too. It's not tomorrow. unless the unthinkable happens, and I'm going to talk about the end of the show. But I think it's coming. And I think a lot of the things that the government is doing, you know, these new My IRAs that Obama talked about in the State of the Union, where you can switch all your retirement accounts, that $18 trillion in accounts that the government would love to get their hands on and control, being as in debt as they are, and because you and I, the middle class, are the enemies of the state, and this represents a huge portion of our wealth. That's all going to be coming our way. And in Greece, you know, the European Union, particularly Germany, by the way, which has been very harsh with Greece. Basically, you have the leftists saying, we're not doing this austerity thing, and you have the people backing them, and you have the European Union say, yes, you are. And Greece is kind of saying, and what are you going to do about it? This is going to be really interesting. I'm going to keep bringing you updates on this. But this is the canary in the mine shaft. Mind you, this is the canary in the mine shaft. By the way, there was a bunch of demonstrators. This is spreading. There was 100,000 demonstrators that took to the streets in Spain last week. Same thing. Same kind of coalition of leftists, secularists, anti-religious, anti-European Union, anti-government Spain groups that have been cobbled together by Obama here in the United States and the new Greek rulers over there in Greece. 100,000 of them. By the way, do you know what they were chanting? Yes, we can. And they carried signs saying, change is now. Does that sound familiar? Where did we hear, yes, we can? Do not underestimate the tentacles of the people that we put in power and the people that they've installed as a shadow government in Washington, D.C., around the planet. This is, as I've discussed in other shows, and I think I'll put those links up maybe next week, this is the unholy alliance between Islamic Jihad and progressive, that is, communist ideology. Mark my words, that's what it is. And you're seeing it play, it's all these dots around the world. It's very easy to connect with lines. So that brings us to our second snapshot. Our second snapshot is Detroit. So Detroit had, Detroit went through bankruptcy. And it's just now coming out of bankruptcy. Now it's being protested by Wayne County, which by the way itself is $70 million. That's a lot of money for a county in the hole. And probably going to have to declare bankruptcy. You know, it's a ripple effect. But here's the outcome of the Detroit bankruptcy. And I'm bringing this to you because there are many other cities, I've been saying this for years, there are many other cities that are going to hit the same wall Detroit did. And there's states like California that are going to hit the same wall. And the federal government of the United States, if it doesn't get its debt act, which is purposely being increased, Cloward and Piven, under control, is going to hit the same wall. And that's the wall that Greece hit. Do you kind of see the parallels here? So, in coming out of bankruptcy, they basically shrunk the pension checks 6.7%. For all 12,000 Detroit City employees and retirees beginning in March. In addition, and you gotta really get your hands around this, the court has ordered many of these retirees, 11,000 retirees and current employees must repay $212 million in excess interest they accrued in city-run savings plans, which is separate, by the way, from the cuts and over and above the cuts in the pensions. There's a guy by the name of Henry Gaffney. He's 61. He's a retired bus driver. And by the way, you can pay it over time or you can pay it in a lump sum. He's going to pay back $56,000 of the $300,000 he has saved over his entire life from his monthly $3,100 a month pension check over 19 years. In addition, he pays another $370. This is going to tie into the next snapshot. $375 more for health insurance. Here's the bottom line. He can't retire anymore. You know, this is simple math, folks. Simple math. Wayne County, where Detroit is located, they have a $70 million budget deficit. Guess what they need to do? Oh, and by the way, you know where that comes from? Underwater pension plans. Gee, what happened in Detroit? Oh, I see. And by the way, let me tie this back in for you again. Do you know what bankrupted Greece, besides spending largesse and buying votes and all the stuff you see going on in the United States? That's right. Public sectors. Public sector employees, outrageous wages, lower productivity, smaller work weeks, and huge pensions. Do you see the similarity here? Do you see the same thread? And it's the thread that always comes with leftist government. Because they're using your money to buy their votes. And in the end, they're making promises that cannot, let me underline this, cannot mathematically be fulfilled. And the result will always be the same. So, Wayne County is going to be the next one to go for the exact same reasons as Greece, eventually California, as Detroit, and as many other countries around the world, and cities and states and counties around the nation. Basically, what's happening in Michigan ain't going to stay in Michigan. What's happening in Greece ain't going to stay in Greece. These are all canaries in the mine shaft, folks. Which brings me to the next snapshot, because it all ties in. It's all money out of people's pocket. It's all promises that can't be kept. It is all lies that are propounded for two reasons. Number one, to take money from you. And number two, to give money to others to buy their votes, along with promises of future lovely circumstances and utopian retirements, love, peace, love, lots of money for everybody, which can never be fulfilled. And they know it. So, there was a CBO report that came out. You didn't hear squat about this anywhere. I mean, not squat. And there's several articles down below, by the way, on all this stuff. So make sure you read the articles this week. International, Obamacare, etc. According to the Congressional Budget Office, the federal government will incur a cost of at least $50,000 for every person who gets health insurance under the Obamacare law. I want you to think about that. According to the Obamacare architects, who of course think we're too stupid to know any better, that's going to be 40 million people. According to other estimates, it'll only be 20 to 25 million. Do the math, if your calculator has that many zeros, on what those numbers are times $50,000. Never mind all the other costs. Now, here's where it gets interesting. These insurance subsidies, the CBO says in this new report that nobody's covered, will cost $1.993 trillion for the Americans who enroll in the program, and including an expansion of Medicaid, which is through the states, You know, I've done a bunch of shows on Obamacare. I'm going to ask the producer to just put those links up, just in a row down at the bottom of the write-up. I've done six or seven. The 21 new taxes under Obamacare, which everybody laughed at, and here they are. In fact, you'll start paying them this year. Congratulations to all of us. And I did interviews with four national experts, including, by the way, an administration proponent. Very interesting interview. An administration proponent of Obamacare. If you get a chance, listen to those shows, because as Reverend Wright would say as he was preaching to Barack and Michelle in the front pew, the chickens are coming home to roost. So, this $1.993 trillion for insurance subsidies, $50,000 a person, is only offset by the $643 billion in new taxes. This is all my previous shows, folks, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. I mean, the math then is the math now. 2 plus 2 is 4, period. You have $663 billion in new taxes out of your pockets. You have the $700 billion that got lopped off of Medicare. Too bad for you, seniors. I mean, the quicker you die, the better, because most of you are conservative. And that's only $1.3 trillion. And the cost here of just the subsidies, never mind $2 billion on websites and, you know, staff and 16,000 new IRS employees, never mind all that, another $1 trillion, is a $700 billion shortfall. Add in those other costs, and you're at a whopping $2 trillion short, which is exactly what I projected a year and a half ago. It's just math. And maybe Gruber's right. Maybe we're all too stupid to add it up. I don't know. The report said, and I quote, "The net costs of the coverage provisions of the Affordable Care Act," that's Obamacare, "will rise sharply as the effects of the act phase in from 2015 to 2017." Well, guess what, folks? That's now. Now, where do you think they're going to get this $2 trillion shortfall from? Remember what I always say: there's only two sources of revenue for the government, your pocket and your property. You better hold on to your hats, your wallets, and your butts. Unless, by some miracle, the Republicans get their act together and dismantle this law, or the Supreme Court in March, basically, shall we say, scuttles the law through a ruling which has to do with subsidies. We're going to be talking about that in March. The CBO report also said that after this huge spike in costs in 2015 to 2017, that costs will, quote, "rise steadily through 2022." Unquote, before leveling off for 3 years. But even then, costs will be $145 billion a year. So, $145 billion a year more, excuse me. We've already been $2 trillion in the hole. Another $145 billion a year in the hole. This is unsustainable. I think we can all kind of figure that out without too much time, trouble, and effort. In other words, it has a bad ending. Remember what I've been talking to you about relative to Greece today and in the past? How about Detroit today and in the past? Or Wayne County today and in the future? Or California today and in the future? Or the United States with its $140 trillion in unfunded liabilities and primary national debt? There is only one end possible to this if you don't get it under control and reverse it. And we are running out of time to do so. Which brings us to my second to last snapshot, because my very last snapshot, I think you'll get kind of a kick out of. It's a little parody on the State Department, Kerry, the extremism, rah-rah-rah, kumbaya nonsense that went on in Washington today. The incredibly, the president's speech, the poor downtrodden Muslims who are treated so poorly. And this is a theory of a number of great economists, including a guy by the name of Stansbury, who I think is a very savvy guy. He's not always right, but he's right way more often than he's not. And it's called the 100-year storm. And the 100-year storm, because of all these other snapshots we've talked about, and I've just dented them. I mean, we could go on and on and on. We could talk about Italy, and we could talk about Spain, and we could talk about England. We could talk about the South American countries and the African countries. We could talk about Japan, which is a basket case. You can go on and on and on and on. It's all headed the same way. Maybe that's why China and Russia are stocking up on gold and attacking the dollar? Question mark, question mark, question mark. What's happening right now is that all these governments are, and there's not a lot being said about this, competing with each other to devalue their currencies. Because that makes their exports, the stuff that they're selling to everybody else, cheaper. And really savvy 1%ers are making fortunes off of this. For instance, in Russia, the big gas company, it's selling its stuff in U.S. dollars and paying its expenses back there in Russia in rubles. Rubles have fallen 50% to the dollar. Not only are they making their normal gigantic profits on their oil and gas sales, by the way, mostly to Europe. Gee, I wonder why Europe doesn't want to interfere in Ukraine. But on top of that, they're making a windfall through the currency conversion, i.e. getting dollars, paying in rubles. They're making another 50 cents on the dollar. This is happening around the planet in many different locations and occasions and countries and companies. That's just one example. And the Russian ruble, by the way, the fall of that, remember, we've talked about this in previous shows, all that does is make a more desperate Putin. And a more desperate Putin is a more warlike Putin. Particularly when his adversaries are a bunch of mealy-mouthed, silly putty muppets, i.e. John Kerry and Barack Obama. But here's what you don't know. You've probably heard a little bit about the ruble. Okay, the Canadian dollar is down 20 to 30%. The Australian dollar is down from 94 cents to 78 cents on the American dollar. The Japanese yen, oh my, this is the world's second richest economy. It's a basket case. The yen is down from approximately 98 cents to about 50 cents. Excuse me, to about 84 cents. I think it's the second steepest drop out of all the currencies. And last but not least, well, I wouldn't call it last, just as one more example, the euro dollar, what the European market, the European Union trades in, i.e. Greece, the euro is down from $1.40 to about $1.12. And it's all on purpose, because all these governments are debasing their currency. Understand this. When you debase your currency as a government, you wipe out your citizens' wealth. It does enrich certain special interests. Like I gave you the example of Gazprom, the Russian natural gas company. And by the way, Putin is rumored to own a large portion of that company. Little nepotism, corruption. Kind of sounds like America and Solyndra, doesn't it? And we can do this, the countries can do this because we're using paper money. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by anything of real value. So, to kind of continue down that line, this gives the government way more power. It allows the government to tax you by debasing the currency without you even knowing it. Do you remember in my show, I think it was last week, I gave you some examples? In 1930, the average American worked 57 seconds to pay their federal taxes, and now the average American works 130 days a year to pay their federal taxes. The cost of living has increased in America 600% since we went off the gold standard and went to simply a fiat or paper, backed by nothing, currency in the 1970s. That's just 45 years ago. 600%. This is happening around the world. And it's happening with exponential acceleration. I don't think you understand how much debt has been added to the American balance sheet in just the last 7 years on purpose by Barack Obama. Because, unlike what Mr. Giuliani says, he doesn't just not like America, he dislikes America. It's doubled. And it's going to more than double by the time he's done. Because nobody seems to be able to rein this guy in. You know, one of the things that happened, I'm going to digress for just a moment, over the course of this week is after this Kumbaya extremism conference, the administration leaked plans of a big Iraqi offensive to try and take Mosul, retake Mosul from ISIS in April. Now, what do you think would have happened if Eisenhower went on the radio and said the invasion of Normandy is going to be in June along the Normandy coast? You think the Germans might have reacted? You think the invasion would have been successful? One of the things you have to ask yourself is, was this done for political reasons? I'm sure that was part of it. Or was this done because, really, deep down, Barack Obama doesn't want the Iraqi army to retake Mosul and oust all those freedom fighter jihadi friends of his that he sympathizes with so much? Anyway, I digress, but it was a point that needed to be made. You know, if we keep going with this line of thought, and by the way, you know, I can get into the price of gold and how the price of gold not falling, even though values are falling on currencies. I can get into why a lot of economists think that that is just more proof of this kind of downward spiral the whole planet is in right now. But I want to keep this like in the stratosphere because it's important that the concept be understood. The details are really unimportant. Sooner or later, given this sequence of events, the system has to collapse. Nobody knows when, but it has to happen. Just like my show 2 years ago about Greece had to happen, so too does the end result, or so too is the end result inevitable in all these other cases, whether on the level of national deals or on the level of state or local deals. Greece, Detroit, Wayne County, California, etc., etc. You get the dots? The entire paper currency system is collapsing on itself. You have banks that are buying the debt of their own country. You have banks that are buying the debt of the banks that bought the debt of their own country. This is like a very sick hamster on an enclosed roundabout. And the pivot on which the roundabout runs round and round and round is running out of grease. It's going to freeze up. There's a huge reckoning coming for folks who hold paper money and governments who deal in paper money. It's just as simple as that. And I'm not going to have time in this show to go over another little point of family safety and survival, which is power, electricity, what you need to do to kind of protect yourself, your house, and your family. But I'm going to try and do that at the end of next show. And I think you'll find it as interesting as the water deal I did a week or two ago. You need to be really afraid of government-managed currencies. It doesn't matter what politicians say. It doesn't matter what they promise. You can't believe them, folks. If you think of your wealth in U.S. dollars, don't. If you leave your wealth in U.S. dollars, probably not a good idea. This is a process which is already in motion. Greece, California, Wayne County, Detroit, etc., etc., etc. The canaries in the mine shaft. There's some things that you can do to protect yourself, and you need to do it where you can with minimal debt. Although in this type of unraveling, debt is generally repaid with dollars that are less valuable than when you took the debt out. But that's a risk. The best thing to do is to do less things with less debt. The more equity you can have and the less debt you can have, generally speaking, there's always exceptions, the better. So I hope you understand what I'm trying to get across to you in these snapshots, because it's really, really, really critical on a whole bunch of levels to you and your family. And it's all tied in to what's happening in the United States. You know, you have a president who said he wanted to fundamentally transform the country. Since when do you want to fundamentally transform something you like? I had heard a great analogy on the radio. I'm going to use it. I'm going to steal it. So if you want to fundamentally transform your wife, do you love your wife? If you want to fundamentally transform your boyfriend, do you love your boyfriend? I think the answer is kind of obvious, right? And here's how we're going to end this show. We're going to end this show in a little parody. Because, you know, according to Barack and Mary and Jen Psaki and Hillary and all the yada yaddies and Kerry, it's just not the fault of these poor Muslims. They just don't have jobs, and they don't have social services, and they're not being organized into communities, and yada, 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 yada. And it has nothing to do with religion. You know, this is not about Islam. I thought I'd just kind of go down this list for you, because I think you'll... The best line of the week, before I get into this little list, was when the President of the United States did an op-ed in the LA Times. It's listed down below under Terror and Scandal. You should read it. Once again, this is Barack Obama's own words. He said of the jihadis, of the radical Muslims, of the terrorists who burn people alive, behead them, crucify them, kill kids, bury them alive, etc., sell women, rape women, you name it, and I guess also are selling organs from people that they've killed. He said, "We understand their legitimate grievances." That's a quote. We understand their legitimate grievances. And this really isn't about religion, because no religion would do this. So, let's go down a list, shall we? The shoe bomber was a Muslim. The Beltway snipers were Muslims. The Fort Hood shooter was a Muslim. The underwear bomber was a Muslim. The USS Cole bombers were Muslims. The Madrid train bombers were Muslims. The Bali nightclub bombers were Muslims. The London subway bombers were Muslims. The Moscow theater attackers were Muslims. The Boston Marathon bombers were Muslims. The Pan Am Flight 93 bombers were Muslims. The Air France and Tabi hijackers were Muslims. The Iranian embassy takeover was by Muslims. The Beirut U.S. Embassy bombers were Muslims. The Libyan U.S. Embassy attack was Muslims. The Buenos Aires suicide bombers were Muslims. The Israeli Olympic team attackers, remember that, were Muslims. The Kenyan U.S. Embassy bombers were Muslims. The Saudi Khobar Tower bombers were Muslims. The Beirut Marine Barracks, remember that horrible thing? Bombers were Muslims. The Beijing Russian school attackers were Muslims. The First World Trade Center bombers were Muslims. The Bombav Mumbai India attackers were Muslims. The Achille Lauro cruise ship hijackers were Muslims. The Nairobi Kenya shopping mall killers were Muslims. The September 11th, 2001 airline hijackers, the World Trade Centers, were Muslims. The Sydney, Australia Lindt Cafe kidnapper was a Muslim. The Peshawar Pakistani schoolchildren killers were Muslims. Do you see a pattern here? And it must be because they didn't have jobs. But they're not Islamic. And we understand their just grievances. You know, let's go down another list. Buddhists living with Sikhs, no problem. Baha'is living with Christians, no problems. Buddhists living with Shintos, no problem. Buddhists living with Hindus, no problem. Hindus living with Christians, no problem. Atheists living with Buddhists, no problems. Confucians, you know, for Confucius, living with Hindus, no problem. Atheists living with Confucians, no problem. Muslims living with Jews, big problem. Muslims living with Sikhs, big problem. Muslims living with Hindus, big problem. Muslims living with Shintos, big problem. Muslims living with atheists, big problem. Muslims living with Buddhists, big problem. Muslims living with, should we say, killing, raping, torturing, selling, crucifying, beheading Christians, big problem. Do you see? Oh, and by the way, Muslims living with Muslims is a big problem. Do you see another pattern here? But we understand their just grievances. They just need a job, community organizing, and a social worker. Now, last thought of this show. We've gone down the snapshots of the economy. I've referred you to the shows of several years ago, which are linked to some extent, not every single one of them, because you don't have days to listen. As to what's going on in the world that you haven't heard about because of all the nonsense on this, we understand their just grievances, crap that these people are trying to feed us. Now, if you take all this unraveling that's going on in all these economies everywhere, and you take this huge increase in costs that are coming at economies everywhere, I used as an example Obamacare, just one little thing in the American economy. And there's a major, you know, we're not talking about just a plane. We're not talking about just a shopping mall. We're not, as horrible as all that stuff is. But there's a major terrorist event, particularly in the United States. Do you remember what happened with the economy after the bombings of the World Trade Center in 2001? I mean, this economy ground to a halt for like 6 to 9 months. Go back and check the graphs. You can Google it up. And while there was danger then in all these economies, I mean, you know, the canaries were flying into the mine shaft. They hadn't yet started to die in the mine shaft. We're now at a point where we're on the precipice in a lot of ways. Think about what one huge terror attack, particularly in the United States, could do to basically take what is a ever more rapid unraveling around the world and in the United States, although it may be last. And think what that would do to exponentially speed the process. And then go one step further. Unless you think our enemies, the jihadis, are stupid, don't think they haven't thought about that too. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great Saturday, a healthy week, and give it all some thought.